Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama Tzadi Beis. We are wrapping up the eighth parak of the Masechta. Tomorrow we're going to actually finish the parak. We can be found on the bottom of Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis 91B. We are about a dozen lines from the bottom. We're going to be starting this morning with Kotzis Niti Osav here at the end of the eighth parak of Baba Kama. So many interesting topics. We talked about whether or not one can damage themselves. Does one have the right? The kind of executive privilege where you can decide that you want to damage yourself. That was yesterday's daf. That was yesterday's discussion. Machlokas in the Gemara. Meantime, however, we're going to be starting today with a discussion of trees and whether or not one can cut and destroy trees. A little bit of a tangent from what we're discussing right now, but certainly very interesting. This will be a very short discussion as we begin. The Torah starts off, before I read Gemara. Pasuk says at the end of Parsha Shoftim, Ki Satsur al Ir, sorry, Ki Satsur el Ir Yamim Rabim Lilachim al Safsa, Lo Sashchit says a Tzal Lindoach alav Garzen, Ki Mimenu Tochav also Lo Sichros, Ki Adam Eitz Asad Lavo Mipanech Bamatsur, Rak Eitz Asher Teda Ki Lo Eitz Machalhu, Oso Sashchis, Vikarto Venisa Matsur al Ir Asher Hi Osa Imcha Mechama, Adrita. You can't cut down a fruit tree. I know I read a lot more than that, but can't cut down a fruit tree. But Pesukim at the end of Parsha Shoftim have to do with warfare, and you need wood, and you need lumber, and you need weapons. But you can't cut down a fruit tree. Adkan the Pesukim. Amarav Dikla Detan Kaba. So let me say. So over here, a few short halachas in terms of fruit trees, meaning how much fruit are we talking about? So Rav says that if your dekel, which is your date tree, so if it is towing kaba, if it has a kav worth of dates on it, at that point in time now it is a registered fruit tree, and you cannot cut it down. Also, mix it say, meanwhile, Mishnah in Masechta Shviyas, and the Mishnah there says that for your olive tree, how much fruit does the olive tree have to have in order to be registered as a fruit tree? And that is a quarter of a kav. Obviously, a discrepancy between the Mishnah and Shviyas and what Rav just told us over here. So, Shani Zesim Dechashivi, the Gemara gives a very simple answer, and that is, not all fruits are the same. Olives are very important and very significant, and so for olives, a quarter of a kav already is significant. When it comes to other fruits like dates, so therefore you need a full kav. Am Rabbi Chanina Lo Shachiv, Shchivas Bri, Ella, Dekat Teinasa Belo Zimna. So Rabbi Chanina says something which everybody knows, meaning of today's daf. Like, this is the one line in today's daf that everybody's familiar with, and that is that the repercussions of cutting down a fruit tree. So Rabbi Chanina says that his son died as a result of the fact that he cut down his teina, he cut down his fig tree, below Zimne, and it was premature. In other words, it shouldn't have been cut down. He cut down the fig tree, and as a result of that, his son died. He connected those two dots. So, in other words, what Ravina teaches us is that you have to do cost analysis, and that is that if there is a greater benefit in the tree cut down rather than it being kept up, so then you are in fact allowed to cut it down. So in other words, it's very simple. When you have the question of whether or not you should be cutting down a fruit tree, so you should go to your Rav. Tanya Namiach, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Rak eats asher teidam ze'ilam macham. So the pasuk, the Gemara's darshanik, the pasuk. So it's eats asher teidam. That is a tree that produces food. Ki lo eats machal hu ze'ilam srak, and lo eats machal hu is reference to a tree that does not produce fruit. V'chim achish asofel arab is called davar matam alamar. So we're darshaning the pasuk and via our drashas. So we're learning together that not only are you not allowed to cut down a fruit tree, you're not allowed to cut down any tree. Kilo eats Michael srak I'm sorry. Kilo eats Michael lahaktim srak lemichael. So if we're darshaning every tree, so then what the point is? The point is that priority. Which tree should we be cutting down first? Meaning, in the event that you do need to cut down trees, you have a legitimate reason to cut down a tree, cost analysis, whatever the legitimate reason is. So therefore, you have to start off with the non-fruit-bearing trees, and then move to the fruit-bearing trees. Yachol, we're on the top of Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph. Yachol afilo me'ula b'damim. Now, the Tamalama Rak, So I might have thought that even if it's mula b'damim, even though you're going to gain significantly financially, Rashi writes over here, l'kori yosem b'peres yesore yehesra kodem lo. So the if it's, let's say, more expensive to cut down the, if it would be more expensive, and I'm sorry, it would cost you more to cut your fruit tree down, still this rock should come. So the Gemara says, Rock tells us that no. In other words, you don't have to do this at expense, meaning that yes, there is prioritization in terms of the non-fruit tree over the fruit tree, but in the event that there is going to be at a significantly more cost, so then you don't have to prioritize. Shmuel Aisele Arisa Tamre, Achel Tam Bahu Tam Dechamra. Okay, so the Gemara tells the following, and that Shmuel had his sharecropper. Sharecropper came over to him. Shmuel had properties. Shmuel had the sharecroppers working the properties. And the sharecropper came over to him with dates. And he's eating the dates, and the dates taste, I was going to say fishy, but grapey. In other words, there was some grape taste in the dates. I'm a little my high. So he turns to a sharecropper and he says, there's got to be an explanation for this, meaning there's some sort of grape taste infused into my dates. Don't ask me to say that again. So Amarle Benigufne Kaimei. So the explanation is actually very simple. The sharecropper said to him, is that the vines are growing, and the vines are growing a little bit wild, and yeah, and I have some vines growing amongst the dates. So Amar Demachshi Bechamer Kulehai. So Shmuel says to the sharecroppers, okay, that's not good. Meaning it's not healthy and it's not beneficial for the tree. And so therefore, what I'm going to do tomorrow is that let's uproot the dates, and let's see if we can move them. In other words, they should not be proximate to the vines. It's not a halachic consideration. In other words, these are trees. There's no climb by trees generally. It's not a halachic consideration. The consideration over here is that it's just simply not healthy. It's not beneficial. So he was going to uproot the date trees. In other words, probably the word uproot, because he's going to try to replant them elsewhere. Rav Chista chaza tale begufne. Rav Chista found small little date trees growing amongst the vines. Amrle larise akrinu. So same thing. So Rav Chista says to a sharecropper, okay, let's uproot the date trees. In other words, they're causing harm to the vines. Gufne kane dikle lo kane gufne. So, it's going to be detrimental. In other words, the dates are going to be detrimental to the vines, but not vice versa. And so therefore, he felt that the better solution is to uproot the date trees as opposed to moving the vines. Okay. Adkan takes us to the end of a short, but obviously extraordinarily important section of Gemara regarding when can you cut down your fruit trees, if in fact you can. And the answer is yes, you can. Meaning the Gemara just finished off with a couple of stories where the Amoraim did, but obviously it has to be done with consideration and obviously with halachic need. Halachic need could be financial need. Anyway, we continue. We're on Sadi Beis Amud Aleph, and we are now beginning with the Mishnah. This is the final Mishnah here in the 8th parak of the Masechta. Let's say you hurt somebody, you damage somebody. We're going back to the beginning of the 5th parak, and that is that when you damage somebody, you have to pay 5 different categories of payments, and now you damage and you paid. And okay, now you're good, right? You're done, right? The Mishnah here is telling us, no, you're not done yet. There's one more thing you have to do, and that is that you have to ask for forgiveness. A nimcha lo achivakish mimenu shenemra v'ata hashev eishes. You must be asking for forgiveness. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives very clear instructions to Avimelech, who just took Sarah away from Avraham. And so Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Avimelech, you're going to be returning her, that's number one. And on top of that, right, the Mishnah doesn't quote the end of the Pasuk, but v'yispala ba'adcha v'chyei, and he's going to be davening for you. Now, why is he, Avraham, going to be davening for you? Because you're going to go over to him, meaning this part, the pasuk is not clear about, but our Mishnah is clear about, because you're going to be going over to him and you're going to be asking him, I'm really sorry, please forgive me, please daven on my behalf. Now, When you were the aggrieved party and you were asked for forgiveness, what should you do? You should forgive. And if you don't forgive, you're achzari, you're cruel. So in other words, when you have an opportunity to forgive, somebody asked you for forgiveness, so you should provide it. You tell somebody, go ahead and you can hurt me. You can injure me. So the person who then injures you is going to be chayev. And even if you throw in a clause, go ahead, injure me, and I'm amenaskein, you're going to be putter. So nevertheless, he has no right to injure you, and therefore, he's going to be chayev. Even though you told him to do it, even though you asked him to do it, and even if you asked for permission, still cannot do it. Karas Ksusi. Why? Correct. In other words, I think that's correct, Pshat. Because he's not allowed to. Now, Karas Ksusi Shvoris Kadi Chayev, Amenaskin Lifter Pater. Now, with your property, the halach is not the same. With your property, if I say to somebody, go ahead and damage my car, so he's going to be Chayev. But if I Amenaskin, if I say that you damage my car and Amenaskin, with a clause and a condition that I'm waiving any liability, so then you have the right to waive liability. It's your property. You can be mochel on that, and therefore he's going to be putter.
What about those
tashes? I was thinking similar, right? Also, can leish plani amanas liftor chayev bein begufo bein b'mamono. Now, what I could do is I could be mochel my property. What I cannot do is I can't be mochel other people's properties. So I say, yeah, you know my neighbor over there? Go ahead, hit his car. I'm telling you, it's fine. Or hit him, it's fine. Amenaskein, you're going to be potter. Obviously, you do not have the right. It's a very obvious point. You do not have the right to be mochel other people's property. You can only be mochel your property. And as we also just learned moments earlier, you can't be mochel your guf. Which, by the way, just in other words, it's obviously a deeper point, a bigger point, in terms of your relationship with your body, meaning that you are almost like you don't have ownership over your body. You are like an executor over your body, but you don't own your body. Anyway, it's a right. Okay. Tan Rabbanan kol elu shamru demei boshto aval tzara afilu hevi kol eile nevayu sheba olam einim kol ad shivakish memenu shenemar hashev eshes eishki navuhu vispal ba'adcham. The Gemara quotes the Braisa. The Braisa is making the same point as the Mishnah, just a little bit stronger. But that's the Derech HaGemara. In other words, the Braisa complements the Mishnah. We're going to quote the Braisa. The Braisa says the same. You paid, right? Call Elu Sha'amru. Call Elu Sha'amru, meaning the five payments. You paid. But still, the emotional pain that endures, and even if you bring Eilei Nevayos is just simply an expression, where you're bringing all these karbanos, meaning and you ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu for mechila, that means nothing, because what you have to do is that you have to go to the aggrieved party, and you must directly ask from him forgiveness. The pasuk says, Hashem Eishes Aishki Navuhu Vizpala Batcha. So over here, the Braisa did the same thing as the Mishnah. Avram Avinu, in other words, what Avimelech did is Avimelech had to go to Avram Avinu to ask for Mechila. Eishes Navi Bayadure, Eishes Achila Bayadure. As long as we're holding by the story of Avram, Avimelech, Sarah, so the Gemara now is going to take a moment to reflect. And over here, what is troublesome in the language of the Pasuk? It's very simple. You know why you have to give her back to him? Because she's Eishes Navi. She's the wife of a Navi. Oh, okay, fine. And that means that if she had she not been the wife of a Navi, you could have kept her. That's crazy. And that's obviously incorrect. So I'm Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, I'm Rabbi Yonasan Hashem Eishes Aish Mikamakom. Okay, so here's Taich in the Pasuk, correct Taich. And that is that first and foremost, she's a married woman, return her back to her husband. That's number one. Stop. Dead stop. Now, now, Avimelech, as far as your taina is concerned, what was your taina? Well, you know, when Avram came into town, so he introduced her as his sister. So I didn't do anything wrong. So, Navihu. On that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Avimelech, no, that's not a good taina. He's a Navi. And because when Avram came into your community, so what does a normal community do? Can we help you with food? Can we help you with shelter? What does your community do? And specifically, what did you do? Right? Who is that woman? Right? Married? In other words, what's the status of that woman? And it's interesting, by the way. The Gemara says this is a function of Avram Avinu being a Navi. It's not so much a Nevuah. It's more of a Chachma. In other words, you pick on these, you know, on these very straightforward social cues of, oh, you know what he's asking me about? He's asking me about her? We have problems. So Mikan, Lebenoch, Shenerach, Shayalulam, Avalalamad. And the Gemara says, and another point of consideration over here is that, right, Avimelech claimed that he was innocent because he didn't know. So it's not an excuse. It's simply not an excuse. And the Ben Noach, even though they didn't formally learn the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, so nevertheless they're going to be held liable for all the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Eishes Ish obviously being one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, it's Gilu Arayos. Their list of Gilu Arayos, just as an interesting aside, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, their list of Gilu Arayos is not nearly as extensive as our list, right? If I remember correctly, but, you know, just don't trust my memory right now, but I think it amounts to 4 Gilu Arayos, and that's it. We have, to say the least, a lot more. Anyway, but Eishes Ish is one of them. Eishes Ish is one of the Arayos by B'nai Noach. So, in other words, Avi Melech was almost nichshal on Eishes Ish, and the Gemara says, and even though he quote unquote didn't know about it, it's not going to give him any pass on liability. Ki atzor atzar Hashem. Again, we're here in the parsha of Vayera, whereby Avimelech, Avram, Sarah, and so the Gemara is going to spend a little bit more time darshaning. So Amar Rabbi Lazar Shtei Atziros Halalulama. So what happened when Avimelech took Sarah? Everything stopped. So atzor atzar, the double lashon. Achas biish b'shichvat zeru shtayim biisha shichvat zeru v'leida. So what exactly which orifice stops? So the Brisas and the Amoraim all give different interpretations. So one Brisa has it that by a man it was one and that shichvat zera, and by a woman it was two. It was shichvat zera and leida. In a Brisa shtayim biish shichvat zera katanim. The Brisa has it by man it's two shichvat zera and urination. Shlosh biisha shichvat zera katanim v'leida. And by the woman, add to that leida as well. Ravina Amar Shalosh Bi Shechvazer Ketanim Pi Adabas, and Arba Bi Isha Shechvazer Leida Ketanim Pi Adabas. And according to Ravina, you can add to that the Pi Adabas Gedolim. Okay. Vaad Kol Rechem Amri Debei Raviana Afilu Tarnagol Shabeis Avimelech Lo Itila Beit Sasa, and Kol Rechem meaning nothing was producing, there was no procreation, and the Gemara has a. As a medrash, a tanda be Rabbi Yanai, that would include even the eggs. Amalei Rav la Rava bar Mari Menam Il Sadam Rav and Kama Vakish Rachem Emal Chaveru Hu Tzarich La Oso Davar Hu Ne'ene Tchila. Your friend needs something. You daven for your friend. It happens to be that you also need the same thing. You daven for your friend. You will get answered first. Amalei Midichsev. So over here, how do I know? It's a pasuk in Iyov. Vashem Shavishvus Iyov Bispalo Bad Reyehu. Iyov davened on behalf of his friend, Akash Baruch Hu, responded to Iyov by providing Iyov that which his friend needed. Meaning, right, it's fair to say that, in other words, you're davening for your friend. Obviously, Akash Baruch Hu will be receptive to tefillah for your friend, but because you were considerate in davening for your friend, so Akash Baruch Hu is going to answer you. So Amalei Amart Me'asam. So now, you say that that's the source. I also agree, but I have a different source. Notably, Ana Amina Me'acha. I think it comes from the following. So what happened is that after the Atzira, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped up all the Plishtim, so then Avram davened on their behalf. And what happened? So in other words, they opened up. But also what happened is that Sarah as well. And it's in the pasuk. Hashem pakad et Sarah, kasher amar. What does that mean, kasher amar? Like Avram said, like when Avram davened on behalf of the plishtim, he was also answered on his own behalf as well. Amalei Rava Lareva Barmari Menam Milsa Darmi Inshi Ba'adi Hutsa Lake Karva. So, together with the Hutsa, Hutsim are basically thorns and the part of the growth that you don't want. And but meanwhile, when you're cutting down the Hutsa, so the Karva goes as well. The Kruv, right? Translated as boxer. I know none of us have good memories. Sorry, before we get to the pasuk, the point is as follows, and that is that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu has to cut down his kotzim, okay, and that doesn't mean it's thorns, but in other words, the rishayim. So, but meanwhile, there are some tzaddikim amongst the rishayim. So, what happens is that the tzaddikim also get cut down as well. It's just the way things work. Okay, if I can explain to you schar ve'onish and a Kadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbonos. I can't. But in other words, that's how it works. And the Gemara is going to be giving a number of sources to this idea. So Amar Lei Dichtiv. So over here, first we'll start with the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Lama Tarivo Laikuchem Pashat Aminu Mashem. So Amar Lei At Amart Meha. I'm sorry, before we get to the next pasuk. So Kuchem Pashatam. So in other words, all of you were Poshea. This is what Akash Baruch Hu is telling Yirmiyahu. All of you. Well, who's included in all of you? Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu was a poshea. He was amongst the poshim. So again, the idea is that even though you're a tzaddik, but you're amongst the poshim, you're also going to be considered a poshea.
You get caught.
That's it. So you're refusing. So and Akash Baruch is talking to Moshe and Aaron. So and you, meaning you in the plural, so you are all me'antem, including Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron were ma'in, they were refusing. Again, they were part of the klal. The klal were in a state of mi'an. Moshe and Aaron are also included in that as well. Amalei Rava L'Rava Bar Mari Ksivu Mikseyachav Lakach Hamisha Anashim. Okay, so Rava Bar Mari. So questions that were posed to Rava Bar Mari. Okay, that will be the theme for the remainder of today's daf. Well over a dozen different questions are going to be posed. We just covered one, right? Amalei Rava L'Rava Bar Mari, right? That was the Hadei Hutsa Laki Karva, right? The Kruv is going to get cut down with the Hutsim. We just covered that. But now, in other words, it's going to seem like a whole series of non sequiturs, but the connective tissue between all the remaining Gemaras of today's daf is all going to be questions posed to Rava Bar Mari from Rava. So what happened was that they wanted to start a new community in Mitzrayim. We're going to go to Goshen. What are we going to do in Goshen? So you know what Yosef told Paro. What my brothers are going to do is that they're going to be shepherds, and they're not. Don't worry, they're not these big strong men that you heard about. They're shepherds. They're simple shepherds. Okay, good. And what did Yosef do? He presented five of his brothers over to Paro. Which five? Gemara's question. So what Yosef did is he took the five weakest of the brothers and he presented them. How do we know they were weak? Because they needed kfeila. They needed their names to be doubled. When Moshe gave these five shvatim a bracha at the end of the Torah, so he repeated their names. They are Zvulun, Gad, Dan, Naphtali, Asher. Okay, and over here I'm not going to, right? It's important, but I'm not going to do it. And that is to look up the psukim and see the psukim inside. The double language used by each one of them. Why double language? Because they needed the double language. Why? Because they were weak. The shvatim were weaker. Yehuda Nami Echbalei Michbal. The Gemara says, okay, but I'm looking at Vizosa Bracha. And I'm noticing that Yehuda also has a double, his name repeated twice. There's a kfeila by Yehuda. So the Gemara says, yeah, I know that. But in other words, that was for a different reason. Notably, the Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, my dichsiv, Yechiru vein v'ayam mos v'yihim misav misbar, v'zos le'yudam. Okay, so it's true that Yehuda's name is repeated, but I'll explain to you why. It's a different reason. And that is Koloson Arba and Shanin Shayu Yisrael Be'midbar Yuhatzmos of Shehuda Megul Galim Be'aron. So, 40 years that the Jews were traveling in the Midbar, so the Atzmos Yehuda were rolling in the kever. Now, Atzmos Yehuda, hopefully you're wondering, I didn't know Yehuda's bones were going through the desert. I thought only Yosef's bones were going through the desert. Rashi over here quotes a medrash, and that is all the Shvatim. Right? Rashi, if you could just take a look inside. Rashi writes, Kol HaShvatim. There's no Dibra HaMaskal over here. It's a little bit more than halfway down on the Rashi. Kol HaShvatim Yatzu Atzmosechem in Mitzrayim V'nikburu Be'eretz Yisrael Shenhemar V'Ha'elisem Es Atzmosai Mizeh Itechem. So Rashi, based on the Medrash, based on the Pasuk, so all the bones of all the Shvatim came up. Mashma Sha'af Atzmosam He'alu. So and why did the Torah make such a big deal about Atzmas Yosef? Shevach for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, everybody was running after money, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Yeah, I know, but I'm gonna go after mitzvah right now." And so that was a shevach for Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's why Atzmas Yosef is highlighted. But the truth of the matter is that all the bones of all the Shvatim came up. Okay, good. So now, the bones of Yehuda were rolling in the grave. Okay, important next Rashi. But Megugal and Ba'aron, the Gemara doesn't tell us why they were rolling in the grave. Rashi does. So lo hayashol dokayem es mukhabes mem nei nidui de kamer le Yaakov im lo avienu lech vechatas lecha kol hayamim. So Yehuda's bones were rolling in the grave because Yehuda made a promise to Yaakov. And he says that if I don't bring back Binyamin, I will be in Cherem. Now, hopefully you're wondering, but he did bring back Binyamin. Well, Af Api, next part of Rashi. Af Api, Shinis Kaim Atanai, Nafgalam B'Maseches Makos, Kilos Chacham, Afilu Atanai, Hi Ba'a. So you have Kilos Chacham, you have Chacham giving a Klala. So even if it's on condition, and even if the condition is met, so nevertheless, it's still going to come. So in other words, Yehuda was in a self-imposed cherem because of the klala that he gave to himself if, in fact, he didn't bring back Binyamin. And I know he did, but Rashi says, but still, it was a klala that came out of his mouth, and therefore, Yehuda's bones are rolling.
His klala was conditioned
to begin with. Yeah, Rashi notes that.
I know.
Okay. So the Ashabah Moshe Bikesh Rachamim. Ruven Shiyode Yehuda. So Moshe went to Akash Baruch Hu and petitioned on behalf of Yehuda. And he said, look, Reuven was Modem. Reuven made a mistake. See the Psukim in Parshas Vayishlach. See the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Nun Hey. Okay? In terms of Reuven's mistake. Good. Now, Reuven eventually acknowledged and admitted that what he did was wrong. And he was Modem. Now, why was he Modem? So Shama Hashem Kol Yehuda. The reason why Reuven went ahead and was Moda al ha MS is because he saw Yehuda do it. Yehuda also made a mistake. See the Psukim in Parshas Vayeshe, Perek Lamed Ches. Okay, right. Sad kami many. So Yehuda was Moda. So Reuven learned from Yehuda how to be Moda. So in other words, what Moshe petitioned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on behalf of Yehuda is Yehuda's a role model. Yehuda taught Reuven how to be Moda. In other words, more Rachmanis on behalf of Yehuda. Good. So now, Al Iver L'Shafa. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is that he took all the dislocated bones of Yehuda. I can only explain this as best as I understand. And he put it back together again. Okay, so Yehuda's bones are back together again. They're no longer rolling. Lo Havaka Maskele Mesifsa Derekia, but still. Okay, so now that his bones were settled, so now the neshama of Yehuda is going to gain more olam ha'emes. Good. So now, but there's a yeshiva shamala. So in the high school that I work in, there are two floors. So my joke is that I'm on the yeshiva shamata, and the higher ups on the yeshiva shamala. So anyway, so good. So but even though he's settled. But nevertheless, he hasn't gained entrance into the Yeshiva Shamala. So the El Amo Tivienu. So you see what we're doing over here? In other words, we're going through the Pasuk regarding Yehuda, step by step, phrase by phrase, as Moshe keeps petitioning on behalf of Yehuda
Yehuda gets more of an aliyah, if you will. So love yadamai kamir rabbanan velemishkol mechakvadei rabbanan. So good. Now he's in the yeshiva shamala. So what are they doing in the yeshiva shamala? Obviously they're learning. And meanwhile, what Yehuda doesn't know how to do is he doesn't know how to learn. Not the way they're learning. So yadav ravlo. So now, again, more tefillah on behalf of Yehuda, yadav ravlo. Give him the hands that he needs, meaning give him the capability so that he can learn. And yet, even now he was able to engage, but he was saying things and people weren't agreeing with his conclusions. In other words, still there was some sort of fault in his ability. So ve'ezer mitzarav tiye. So finally, concluding the pasuk by Yehuda, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he girded him. In other words, he gave him more koach and more strength and more ability so that he's not only able to discourse, but also conclude as well. We're on the very bottom of Sadi Beis HaManav. Amale Rav L'Rava Bar Mari Manah Mil Sadam Rein Shei Basar Anya Azlan Yusa. So you know where poverty is going to go? Poverty is going to follow poverty. How do I know that? So Amar Lei did not. So we're Mishnah Bikurim, an Ofana Mishnah. Ashir Mevim Abikurim B'Klaso Shal Zav V'Shal Kasef. The Aniyem B'Salim Tzarim Shal Arva Klufa. Salim Bikurim Nosim L'Kohanim. So when the rich person comes in to bring his Bikurim, so what is he going to bring it in? So he'll bring it in gold baskets. Gold baskets, silver baskets, right? Probably the word basket is not the right way to describe it, but you know what I mean. In other words, so, and then what's going to happen? Gives the Bikurim over to the Kohen, and now what does he do with his gold and silver? Takes it back home. Now, when it comes to the Aniyim, so what do they have? They just simply have Pasha baskets. And what do? They give the wicker baskets over to the Kohanim, with the Bikurim obviously in them. And over there, the Aniyim leave the baskets there. Okay. So in other words, the Ani, all he's got is a wicker basket, and meanwhile he loses that as well. So the Mishnah just speaks to this idea, right? Meaning why? So the Mishnah, our Gemara understands it as a function of, it's just the nature of the world. Poverty follows poverty. Okay, you say it from there, I say it from here. V'tami tami yikra. The Mitzorah, what does the Mitzorah do? In addition to having saras, so he also has to go into galus, and he also has to tell everybody that he's tummy. Look at the top Rashi. Lo di lo nig o. Not enough that he has saras, meaning already is enough, but it's not enough. Elushem avayshet tzatzmal karchu. He tell a lava kus of chova. He has to publicly embarrass himself. In other words, this idea that anius falls anius. So again, it can be represented a number of different ways. A mishnah bikurim, a pasuk by mitzora. Top of Sadi Beis Amud Beis. Amale Rav L'Rav Bar Mari Menam El Sodam Rabbanan Hashkem Vechol Bekaitz Bimnei Chama Vechorf Bimnei Hatzina. The importance of breakfast. Okay, still at this age, by the way, I am not yet convinced. But right? Okay, good. But hopefully the daf will filter through. It'll sink in. So the importance of breakfast. It's very important. In the summer, it helps you from the heat. In the winter, it helps you from the cold. So the Amri Inshi Shisan Rehute Rahat Velo Matila Gavra de Mitzra Krach Dirsiv Lo Yir Av Uva Lo Yitzma Uva Lo Yakim Sher Vishamish. So 60 people are running and they're not going to be able to lap you. If you had a good breakfast, you will be outrunning 60 people. And the Pasuk in Yeshayahu is that you won't be hungry, you won't be thirsty. In other words, well, you wake up early in the morning and you have a good breakfast. Now, admittedly, the Pasuk in Yeshayahu does not say, and you had a good breakfast, but contextually, that's how our Gemara clearly understood it. I have a different source. Okay, so in Parshas Mishpatim, the end of the Parsha. So you're going to be serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what is our service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Our service is services, otherwise known as davening. So that is when you wake up in the morning, Kriya Shema Tefillah. And Berech Eslach Mecha V'Esmei Mecha. And together, accompanying that, you're also going to be having bread and water. Right? The shul should be serving breakfast. Now, of course, I don't mean that, by the way. That's that means more membership dues. So with the Mikan Ve'Elech, V'Asirosi Machla Mikrebecha.
So, and what's going to happen if you do that? Meaning, follow that simple formula. Dav and eat. So you're not going to have machla. You won't be sick. V'tanya machla zuma. Rav Elam nikra shema machla sheshmonim ushosh chalaim yesh ba. Machla begematria ach yahavu. So you're going to be having not just machla, but you're going to be having mara. Now, it would be helpful if I could explain to you what mara is. It's a particular type of ailment, and it's really bad. And if you'll take a look at the gematria of the word mara, so it is 83. So and 83 is significant because that's the number of machlas that would come if in the event that you don't have a good breakfast. Machla, thank you. Correct. Machla is 83. Correct. Right, Mara is a lot more. Very, very good. So, pas b'melach b'shachris kito shamay mevatlan. And meanwhile, as long as you're eating your bread and you're drinking your water in the morning, okay, I'm good on the hydration. That part I'm good at. Okay, but okay. Amalei Rav LeRav Bar Mari Menam Milsadam Rabban Chavrcha Kari Chamra Uchva Lagabe Mosh. Another phrase that people are saying, and that is that let's say somebody calls you a donkey. Good. So you know what you should do? So you should take the saddle and put it on your back. Wear it. So someone calls you a name, so just simply own it. Wear it. So Amrle Dichsiva Yamaga Shivcha Sarai Emi Zebadana Telchi Vatamar Mimnesar Gavirti Anochi Barachas. So I'll give you one source in Chumash that this is in fact so. If someone calls you a name, just wear it. And that is that Hagar is running away. The Malach goes over to Hagar, and the Malach says to her, Shivchat Sarai. The first thing Malach says to her, you're Shivchat Sarai. You're a slave. And what does she do? She owns it. She wears it. And her response is, Mimnei Sarai Gevirti. Yeah, my master Sarah. Okay, good. She owns it. Yeah, correct. But in other words, the attitude. In other words, enachinami, she is. But the Gemara over here is focusing on the attitude. The attitude is enachinami. Good. So own it. Amalei Rav LeRav Bar Mari Menam Milsa Damri Inshe Milsa Ganai De Isbach Kadem Amra. So let's say you have Milsa De Ganai. Okay, you have a deficiency, and shocking news today. We all have one. So what you should do is that you should do prevent defense, and that is announce, put it out there right there at the beginning. Here are my deficiencies. How do I know that you should do that? So Amrle midichsiv vayomer Evred Avram Anochi. So when Eliezer goes out to find a shidduch for Yitzchak, so he presents himself, and how does he introduce himself? Evred Avram Anochi. I'm Evred Avram. And he puts it right out there over here in the notes in the Masifta. He quotes the Maharal. The Maharal here speaks about setting expectations lower. In other words, when you set the expectations high, so what you're going to do is, I mean, I know this sounds like common sense. The Maharal's writing, the Maharal's writing is that when the expectations are set high and people think, oh my gosh, he's perfect, and then all of a sudden he finds out your imperfections, so obviously he's going to be disappointed. If what you do is that. Right at the beginning, you tell them, okay, here's what I'm good at, here's what I'm not good at. So in other words, so you are not going to be disappointing. Amalei Rav LeRav Bar Mari Menam Milsa Damri Inshe Shvil VaAzel Bar Avza VeEinam Etayfei. Okay, another yesod. You know, people say that what you should do, what the goose does, is that when the goose is walking, his head is looking down, but meanwhile his eyes are well in advance, anticipating steps way ahead. The ine mitayfe. So Amalei in dechsiv etiv Hashem adin v'zacharta samasecha. And where do we see this from? We see this from the exchange between David Hamelech and Avigail. Avigail was currently married. Her husband was not the of the best caliber. But anyway, okay. Again, see the Navi. All this can be found in Shmuel Aleph and Perikaf A. And the and what Avigal effectively says to David wanted to kill her husband. Again, I'm not going through the entire episode right now, but Avigal basically prevents David from doing so. In other words, don't shed blood. And on top of that, Avigal says, and also do me a favor, you're going to remember me. In other words, Avigal plants a seed in David's mind that one day she will become available, and then David will marry her. V'kachai, and that's what happened. So over here, this idea that Avigal's head is down, meaning that currently right now she is saving her husband from being put to death, but also planted a seed in David's mind that if and when I become available later, so then you'll give me a call. Yep. Amalei Revela Rava Bar Mari Menam Milsa Darmi Inshi Shishin Tichli Mitai Lekacha Deko Chavei Shama Velocha. What's going to happen? Your teeth are going to start hurting. 60 different types of pains are going to be afflicting your teeth when you see somebody else eating. Okay? In other words, right, you are now sitting at a dinner and for whatever reason, no food in front of you and you're watching everyone else eat. So the Gemara says that's painful. So over here, beginning of Sefer Malachim, so there was a meal, and we weren't invited. And the Gemara's understanding of the Pesukim is that the pain that we're experiencing by watching others eat, and we ourselves, that we're not invited to eat. Amalei arta amart mehasa ana amina mehacha. Okay, this one's interesting. Oh, boys, this one's interesting. So what happened was is that Yitzchak got married. Good. And then at the end of Parshas Chayisar, what does Avram do? Avram gets married. Because what happened? In other words, obviously we're not talking about eating over here. But in other words, watching somebody else enjoy and meanwhile I'm not enjoying. And Rashi writes it over here. It's the pshat in the Gemara, but Rashi says it beferish. And that it was, is that once Avram saw that his son Yitzhak was happily married, so Avram's like, hey, I'd like to be happily married. And that's why he married Keturah. Amalei Rava LeRava Bar Mari Menam Milsa Darmi Inshi Chamer LaMari Tivusa LeShakye. So when the wine is coming from the king, so what you should do is that you should say thank you to the waiter. Meaning, it's not the waiter's wine. It doesn't matter. In other words, midos tovos, good manners. And that is that the waiter was the one who brought you the wine. Say thank you to the waiter. So amalei dichsiv v'samach tzedcha alav l'man yishmu v'yiron kol adas b'nei Yisrael. So when it was time for Moshe to go ahead and deputize Yoshua as being now the next leader of the Jewish people, so the instructions were that you're going to put your hands on him. Laman yishmu v'yiro kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Good. Now, ksiv. Now. V'yoshua b'nun, amalei ruach hachma, ki samach Moshe, yadav, alav yishmu, alav kol b'nei Yisrael. So why did Yoshua become such an excellent leader? Because Moshe put his hands on him. Now, did Yoshua become an excellent leader because Moshe put his hands on him? No. Moshe was basically the waiter. In other words, Moshe did so al pi tzivui. But nevertheless, that's exactly the point. The point is that obviously everything that was given to Yoshua was obviously coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but nevertheless, give credit and acknowledge the person that provided, the provider. Amalei Rava Bar Mari Menam Milsa Darmi Inshi Kava Bekanfei Galay Mivla. When a dog is hungry, the dog will eat. Now, the Gemara says the word galalim. Galalim usually refers to excrement. Rashi over here says it's referring to stones. Okay, but in other words, but the point is that when the dog is hungry, the dog's going to eat anything. So, midichsiv. So over here, Pasuk of Mishlei, nefesh sivea tavus nofes, benefesh re'eva komar matok. So when you have a soul that's hungry, komar matok, anything bitter is going to be sweet. Okay? It's a straightforward Pasuk of Mishlei. Amalei Rava LeRava Bar Mari Menam Milsa Damri Inshi Mitayel V'Azo Dik Labisha Gabe Kina De Sarche. So you know the deco, the bad deco. Okay, now you can try to get out of me. What is the bad deco? I don't know. And the whatever, it's a the Gemara is using this more as a metaphor. But anyway, but the bad deco. Do you know who he associates with? He associates with Kina De Sarche, trees that are basically useless, pointless trees. So in other words, somebody who is somebody's bad is going to end up hanging out with a similar type. Amalei davizei katzav b'Torah v'shanui b'nevim u'shulosh b'ksuvim u'tnam b'masnisin. So this idea that someone's bad is going to start associating with bad people, so I can find it to you in Chumash and Navi, in Ksuvim and in Mishnayos. In other words, this idea is repeated. V'tanina b'braisa. I'm sorry. Tanan b'masisa v'tanina b'braisa. Okay, I missed one. Okay, Mishnayos and Braisos. So obviously, let's go. Yeah, let's finish up. So Dichsiv Vayelech Esav Yishmael. So the pasuk in Chumash again, Galat, and that is, where did Esav go? He went to Yishmael. Good. Next, Nevim Dichsiv Vayislaktu El Yiftach Anashim Rekim V'Yu Imo. So who went with Yiftach? This one's an interesting one. Yiftach is a shofet. Okay. And despite the fact that he was a shofet, but still, in other words, Gemara over here clearly understands that not perfect, not exemplary.
Okay. Wasn't he a warrior that won over his daughter?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's an interesting one. Umishulash. Correct. Yep. Umishulash b'ksuvim d'chsiv kol oflam ino yishkonu v'nei adam l'dom alo. What birds are going to do is that birds are going to gravitate towards their species, and the same thing with bad people, they're going to gravitate towards their species. Tanan ben masnitz and kolamechubel atame tame, and kolamechubel atar tahor. Now the Mishnah and Kalim that the Gemara quotes over here is obviously making a halachic point, but the Gemara is understanding that the halachic point also is speaking to a social reality, and that is that anything connected to tame is tame. Again, the Mishnah and Kalim is talking halakhically, but our Gemara is understanding that also as a social reality. Anyone associated with Tameh is Tameh, and anyone associated with Torah is Torah. The Tanina Bebraisa, and to wrap up today's daf, and that is Rebbe Lazar Omer, Lo Lechinam Halach Zarzir, Eitzel Orev, Elamim Neshu Mino. Why do you think the Zarzir is going to the Orev? So the Zarzir is going to the Orev, meaning the Zarzir, a type of insect bird, unclear as to in terms of whether it was kosher or unkosher, but the Gemara said, the Braisa said, that it's not kosher. How do I know that? Because look who he associates with. He associates with the Orev. Orev, we know for sure, is not kosher. Orev is in the Psukim. We are a little bit uncertain in terms of the categorization of the Zarzir, but because it goes with the Orev, it's a subspecies of Orev. So good. So in other words, the fact that now there is a there's proximity between these two means that they're, in other words, min bimino. They connect with one another. They're like one another. Okay, I'm going to pause over here.
You say what's a min bimino?
Yeah, very good. Okay, Adkan.